Welcome to the Next Gen Work Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Ross. I help leaders support working parents so that they can recruit and retain the best people. Join me as I interview experts and provide insights into the struggles that parents and caregivers face in the workplace. Learn how your business can become a place where parents feel included, supported, and valued. Being a family-friendly business isn't just a nice to have anymore. For the next generation and those that are raising them, it is critical. Welcome back to the Next Gen Work Culture Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Eric Gerard, the author of the book Lead Like a Pro. And Eric, I will let you tell us a little bit more about you and who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm Eric Gerard, the CEO of Gerard Training Solutions, and I've been in learning and development for over 30 years, 20 of which I spent in tech in Silicon Valley at companies you'd know, like Apple, Applied Materials, Symantec, big tech companies. And during the pandemic, we decided to get out of Dodge and move up to the Seattle area. And so I moved from being inside of a company as an individual contributor to creating my own company. And my focus is on helping new managers transform from being great individual contributors or great employees to outstanding people managers. And so everything I do, everything I write, all the podcasting that I do is all toward that end. So I'm just really passionate about helping new managers hit the ground running and do a great job and not get frustrated because they don't have the training they need to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So a lot of what I talk about here, Next Gen Work Culture, has to do with just being a good manager and supporting your working parents and caregivers that are under you. And a lot of that kind of boils down to just being a caring person. And I know the very first chapter in your book, that which I loved, by the way, I think it is a must read for anyone in management, not just new managers. But the very first chapter is about empathy, right? The first sentence here says, empathy is foundational to management and imperative to drive productivity and business results. And I couldn't agree more. So Eric, first, could you just tell us what is empathy?
Well, there are lots of definitions. I am a big fan of Daniel Goleman's work, and he wrote the book Emotional Intelligence, and it's actually been around for quite some time. So my definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share another person's feelings without judgment. An empathetic person actively listens to what the other person is saying and acknowledges their feelings and life experiences regardless of their own personal experiences.
Yeah, I love that. And it's not quite the same as being sympathetic, right?
Right, very different. For a good primer on this, head to YouTube and look for Brené Brown Sympathy. So Brené Brown is one of my heroes. She's an amazing researcher and an outstanding storyteller. And there's an animated short that features animals. And one of them is feeling bad and having a hard time. And so some of the animals come up and offer sympathy, which is really not helpful. And then she goes on to talk about how true empathy, you know, sitting with somebody while you're under that rain cloud with them, is really powerful and impactful to helping somebody get over a hard time. So it's only a 10-minute short, and I recommend it for a great differentiation between sympathy and empathy.
Absolutely. I'll have to check that out. So I think it sounds like empathy is super important in our, you know, personal lives and our relationships, but why should managers and business people care about being empathetic?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that empathy is no longer a touchy-feely thing that's, you know, just something squishy that we do sometimes, or if we even think about it. It's important because of how stressful the workplace is today. I mean, I did a very grown-up thing a couple of years ago, and I subscribed to the New York Times. Now, regardless of what you read, if you're following the news, you're probably a little stressed. And what's going on in the workplace with AI, you know, coming in and causing us to have to work faster and more efficiently, and we need to adjust and adapt to so many changes, one right after the other after the other, I would say that it's imperative that managers build their empathy skills so that they can kind of sit and come alongside their employees and say, look, I hear you. I understand. This is rough. What can I do to help get you over this hump so that we can get you back to high performance? as opposed to what we used to do 10, 20, 30 years ago, which is, you know what, if you're not cutting it, I'm just going to push you harder and harder and harder until you break. And that's not helpful to anybody. It certainly doesn't help the employee, it doesn't help the team, and it doesn't help the organization. So I have some statistics that talk about how empathy helps in the workplace. Do you want to hear those?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. This is all about how empathy is perceived in the workplace. And we look first at motivation. In an empathetic workplace, 59% of employees report feeling more motivated in an empathetic workplace. 90% of CEOs say that they're more motivated than ever in an empathetic workplace. Going to flexible working hours, 96% of employees view working hours as a top empathetic benefit. 39% of organizations offer working hours. So there's a huge delta there in terms of, you know, working hours being flexible versus the people who perceive that it's really, really helpful. In addition, when you're thinking about why you should care about empathy at work, mutual empathy between managers and employees leads to increased efficiency, 88%, creativity, 87%, job satisfaction, 87%, innovation, 85%, company revenue. You want to guess what that number is?
Oh, I bet it's pretty high.
83%. So empathy has a real business impact on how well a company functions. So again, I'll say it again, it's no longer a squishy skill for the touchy-feely crowd. It's something that everybody needs to build.
Yeah, and you've said that a couple of times now that we could build our empathy skills. So what if I am a manager and I'm just not a very naturally empathetic person? Am I just, you know, out of luck, or is there something I could do to become more empathetic?
No, you are not out of luck. So it's very possible to build your empathy skills. And this is a progressive skill, just a little bit at a time. So if you're not very empathetic, if it's very uncomfortable for you, that's okay. You're in good company. And there are small things you can do today to start building your empathy skills. So for example, try seeking out experiences in which you feel uncomfortable and open your mind to other people's opinions and ideas. So just start talking to people who think differently than you. There's no other way to understand how someone else feels about a situation than to ask them. So go beyond small talk and ask about their life.
Yeah.
In this era of social media and influencers, try following people with different backgrounds and diverse life experiences. So for example, race, politics, religion, worldview. Ask the hard questions. You know, what is life like for you? What is it like? For me, one of the things that the challenge that I've set for myself that I need to do, I live in the Seattle area and we have a fairly sizable homeless population. I have no problem handing somebody a Clif Bar or giving them a bag of resources if somebody's standing on a corner with a sign, you know, hey, here you go, I'll help you out. But it's very transactional and it's not very personal. It's just me handing something through the window of my car. My kids volunteer at a local food bank. And one of the things I've been thinking about is not only volunteering at the food bank, where you actually get to talk to the clients, the folks who are receiving the aid, but maybe sitting down and having a meal with somebody who is unhoused and finding out what their life is like and how that happened. So to me, that would be a stretch, a real stretch that would help me build my empathy muscles. So that's the kind of challenge I'm looking for to become more empathetic myself. So there's lots of little things you can do. You don't have to go out and suddenly become Mother Teresa. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, start small and just do little things over time that gets you more and more curious about other people's lives and what life is like for them.
Yeah, I love that. So I've been working on some training and kind of the diversity and inclusion space a lot lately. And I feel like sometimes people are afraid to ask those questions about, you know, race or culture, or I don't understand your beliefs or your culture or your, you know, whatever, XYZ, fill in the blanks. So instead of asking about it, we just make assumptions or avoid the topic, and that leads to more mistakes, I think, and, you know, more, not aggression, but tension. Whereas if we just ask those difficult questions, get to know the people, learn more about the things we don't understand, it can help us, you know, in the long run, even if it makes us a little uncomfortable in the moment.
Yeah. And I think the trick is, like, I wouldn't walk up to somebody who was different than me. I wouldn't just walk up and say, tell me about your life. Like,
right.
You know, you've got to start slow and start small with small things and small gestures first. So you work your way up. It's like anything else. It's like going to the gym. If you haven't been to the gym for a while, you don't start bench pressing 200 pounds. You work your way up. You know, maybe you start with 25 pounds and work your way up over time. Same thing.
Yeah. I was really excited to be able to finally bench press the bar lately. And sitting next to the guy that's doing 200 pounds, it looks ridiculous, but it was slow incremental steps that got me there.
Yeah.
And I've already gotten past that by adding slowly a little bit more weight at a time, you know?
Yeah, so the bar is heavy. That's 45 pounds. That's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed impossible to me when I started going to the gym in January, but slowly making small changes, adding 5 pounds a week, you know, I got there. So it's not, like you said, about just walking up and saying, tell me about your life, but making those slow connections and building the relationship or making minuscule minor steps and changes in our life to try to become more empathetic over time.
Yeah. And you know, starting out, you know, once you've got rapport and a relationship with this person, then asking quietly, you know, can I ask you some questions? Would that be okay? Is this a good time to have a conversation? Easing into it so that you don't knock somebody back.
Right. Yeah. You probably shouldn't ask them to tell your life story on, you know, the first time you met them. Yeah. So in your book, you also talk about how empathy and trust are pretty related. Why is it important that employees trust their managers?
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever worked for a manager you didn't trust?
Absolutely.
And what was that like?
Not fun.
Why not?
And ultimately, as I left that position because I did not trust my manager. I didn't want to go and talk to her about the small things or the minor problems that I would go to my other manager about. So, you know, I had like a assistant and I would go and talk to her, but really she wasn't the person that could make the changes or make the decisions. And I avoided talking to the one that I didn't really trust or didn't get along with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you've answered your own question there. It's like,
right.
without empathy, without some base level of empathy where you can come to your manager and say, I'm having an issue. And, you know, this person can respond in a couple of different ways. They can respond with, well, go deal with it. You know, no empathy, no relationship building, or tell me about it. Let's work on this together. And that, you know, you can see the bar of trust going up and up and up. Ultimately, you as the employee need to go do the work. You know, you're not, you can't hand off work to your manager. You know, you can't unburden yourself on your manager and expect them to just deal with it. But a manager who will sit there and listen to you and brainstorm with you for a couple of minutes, is going to build relationship and build empathy and build trust much faster than somebody who just says, that's your job, go figure it out.
Right, absolutely. That reminds me of a conversation I just had with someone about being an asshole and falling into the asshole trap. So you don't want to be an asshole and just keep asking your manager to do everything for you, basically. But, you know, having somebody that you can go to and you feel like you can go to when you have a question or a concern is important, I think, because it could lead to a lot of problems when we don't have that level of trust and we don't kind of talk it out before it becomes an even bigger problem.
Yeah, exactly. There's an article that I talk about all the time in almost all my classes. It's a Harvard Business Review article, HBR. It's free. You can download it from hbr.org. And it's called Who's Got the Monkey? And it was published originally in the early 70s and then republished in the 90s. And I still talk about it today. So this thing has legs. And it's actually kind of fun to read because it's written in a very stiff 1970s authoritarian style. So it kind of makes me giggle to read it. But it's so many good learning points. So the first idea is that, you know, if you imagine a workplace as a place where, you know, people are walking around with burdens on their shoulders. And these burdens are squawking monkeys. And they all need to be fed and cared for. And if I come to you as my manager, let's pretend you're my manager, and I walk up and I've got a few monkeys on my back, and I say, Courtney, can you help me with this? And you say, sure, I'll handle that for you. Leave it with me and I'll get an answer for you by the end of the day. Then you've allowed me to hand you a monkey. And if everybody does that, if everybody on the team hands you a monkey, by the end of the day, you are weighed down with squawking, smelly creatures that need care and feeding. And we are all scot-free. We don't have anything to worry about. We go home and we enjoy our families and things. And you work late and you work weekends and you're completely stressed out because you've taken on other people's responsibilities. So my catchphrase there is accept no monkeys. Don't let people hand you their monkeys. Talk with them empathetically and build trust while you also say, how can you handle this? You know, what can I do to help you take care of this issue? And then I walk away taking care of my own issue, but also feeling better because my boss gave me some ideas rather than just dealing with it for me. And then the second thing that they talk about in the article is kind of degrees of freedom, how far I can go before I need to check back with you. And level zero is I sit on my hands and wait to be told what to do, which is awful. And we don't want any employee to do that. Yeah. And then, you know, the highest level, level four or five, is, hey, I just handled it and I didn't even bother telling you. I just fixed it. And so you need to have a discussion with your employees that is very, very clearly says, for this task, you can go so far before you need to come to me. And I would like it if we all got to, say, level two, where when I come to you with a monkey, I've got some ideas about how to feed it. They may not be the right ideas, but I did some thinking first. And I was able to say, hey, you know, I thought about this. I've got this problem. It's screaming in my ear. I was thinking of A, B, and C. What do you think? And now the boss is more of a brainstorming partner. And imagine what that does to trust. So you're building trust. You're keeping the work where it belongs, which is with the employee, and the problem is getting taken care of.
Yeah, that's great. So this reminds me of the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, which protects pregnant individuals in the workplace, but they can ask for accommodations, right? Because of conditions related to pregnancy. So if I am that pregnant employee, rather than going to my manager and just saying, hey, this isn't working, fix it, it would be a great idea to have a few ideas for accommodations or how we can change the schedule or change the way the work is done, or, you know, have some ideas for what you want in that accommodation before you go to your manager. And then the two of you can have a discussion with each other about it and decide and come to a place where you've got something that works for the employee and for the business, rather than just, woe is me, nothing's working, fix it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a perfect illustration. And by doing that, you, the employee, are building up trust with your manager. So then it's a two-way street, which is incredibly beneficial for everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah, I could imagine. You want to be able to trust your employees too, right? Otherwise, we lead to the micromanaging trap, I would think. If you can't trust your employees, then you're trying to figure out what they're doing every minute of the day rather than trusting them to get the work done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Well, Eric, is there anything else that you wanted to share about empathy or trust or just being a fantastic manager?
Well, I think that in order to build trust, it starts, you have to start slow. So what I tend to do is, you know, when I bring somebody into my team is I let them know, you know, like you're starting with an A, like you're starting at 100%. So I'm going to go first and give trust first. As the manager, as the leader, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that leap and say, as far as I'm concerned, you and I are great and you are going to do great things and I trust you to make good decisions. So when you start the conversation like that, already the employee is like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't feel like they have to struggle to earn. Now, of course, the employee has to perform. They, you know, they have to deliver. But if you start the conversation with, I trust you, you know, I hired you because I trust you. I hired you because you're competent. So let's have some discussions about how we're going to work together. Let's talk about the degrees of freedom. Let me tell you about my philosophy of accept no monkeys. Let's talk about some things that you can do to get up to speed quickly. And let's have regular one-on-ones so that nothing falls through the cracks. Okay. So like my favorite thing to do is weekly one-on-ones depending on the size of your team, that might be a little challenging, but I would just say, you know what, every week get together for half an hour, 45 minutes, and use a template. I offer a template in my book. I offer a template in my courses. How can you structure a one-on-one so it's efficient and the employee gets that time to build the trust with you and vice versa? So regular meetings, having conversations just for the sake of it, just shooting the breeze, getting to know each other, you know, the virtual water cooler talk. Those are all really important to building trust and building empathy so that when something goes wrong, it's not the boss who's yelling at me. It's Courtney, my manager, who I like, who's got a concern. And that framing makes all the difference.
Yeah. It sounds like both of these things are kind of all about relationships and building relationships too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can't get it done without relationships. And I'm learning that more and more as an entrepreneur and as somebody who needs to continually sell in order for my business to survive. That's all about relationships. Yeah. I've been a victim of spammy sales techniques. I used spammy sales techniques early on. It makes me cringe, but I did do it. And now I realize, you know what? The only way that I'm going to succeed is to build genuine relationships with people. And it takes work, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does take a lot of work. You have to be intentional about it, but it's important. And I think that it's the same whether you're an entrepreneur or a manager or a CEO. The relationships are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Eric, it's been great chatting with you today. If people want to learn more about you or get into your world, where can they find you?
I am all over LinkedIn, so you can find me on LinkedIn at Eric P. Girard. My website is girardtrainingsolutions.com, and my email address, if folks want to reach out to me directly, is eric@girardtrainingsolutions.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, and I'll be sure that we include all of those links in the show notes as well. And thanks for coming on today, Eric.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was fun.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please take just a moment to leave a rating in your podcast player and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, take care.